Speculation that Israel might attack Iran's nuclear facilities is again increasing. The latest report from the UN's nuclear watchdog, the IAEA, says that Iran has doubled its capacity to enrich uranium, which could be used for a nuclear bomb, at its once secret Fordo facility deep inside a mountain. Many Israelis do believe a war with Iran would be more dangerous than relying on diplomacy and sanctions, and the US is urging restraint. But as our Middle East editor Jeremy Bowen reports from Israel, the moment of decision in a crisis that has been burning slowly for more than 4 years seems to be close.
Israeli day trippers sang, giggled and promenaded in the sun. Jaffa, on the Mediterranean coast, doesn't feel as if it's part of a country contemplating war. But a war to destroy Iran's nuclear facilities is top of the agenda for Israel's Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, perhaps before the end of the year, when Israeli officials say Iran will have enough enriched uranium to build a nuclear device. I'm in a community center in Tel Aviv, decorated with murals of cartoon characters, lions and elephants, and instead of children here, though, there are big piles of cardboard boxes full of gas masks, which they're distributing to the people. Today you're picking up gas masks?
Yes.
So who are you picking up masks for?
For me, my husband and my baby.
I think in England, if people were told to pick up gas masks by the government, they'd be really worried. Are you worried?
This is not England, honey. This is Israel. We are used to things like that. It's part of the ritual here.
Iran's supreme leader says he doesn't want a nuclear bomb and having one would be sinful. But the Israeli prime minister believes that if Iran had the chance, it could inflict a second Holocaust on the Jews. Meir Javad Anfar is an Israeli analyst born in Iran and watching it closely.
I can understand Prime Minister Netanyahu as a politician not wanting Iran to have nuclear weapons, but I don't agree with the fact that he says that Iran is an irrational actor and that there would be a new Holocaust if Iran gets a nuclear weapon.
Look, we can hear a helicopter going over here. This is, in a sense, a country that, in a way, is always on a war footing.
Absolutely, but the way to solve the Iranian equation is not with that helicopter. It's with the diplomats. I think the leadership, he hasn't realized that the Iranian nuclear program, much like an Iranian carpet, needs a lot of attention, a lot of patience, and at the end, you get what you want.
Hello.
Like all immigrants, Iranian Jews who've come to Israel can get nostalgic and stay in touch with their old homeland by dialing up webcams. At both ends, they worry about what would happen if Israel attacked. Our host told them I was there. I'm not going to name them, as they were nervous about eavesdroppers from Iran's security services. Hello there. How are you in Tehran?
Very good, Tehran.
Does it feel strange to be able to talk to Israel like this when there are so many differences between Israel and Iran?
Yes, sure it is. The government don't like this.
The government don't like it, you say?
No, the government don't want to make peace. They hate Israel.
What about the threats of war? Do you worry about that in Tehran?
I think the USA were against Israel idea of attacking Iran.
You're saying the USA is against the Israeli idea of attacking? Yes, I think it seems to be at the moment. Does that make you feel better?
I don't know. I hope the problem is solved.
The non-aligned summit is in session in Tehran this week, where state television stations are presenting it as a sign of Iranian strength. Israel's prime minister called it a stain on humanity. According to Alon Ben-David, defense correspondent of Israel's Channel 10 TV, the prime minister is not crying wolf. He could overrule Israeli military doubts about going it alone.
The sense is that the wolf is very near now. There's no argument on the fact that life will be almost unbearable for Israel if Iran will become nuclear. The argument is when to do it and with who to do it. And the argument of the military echelon is wait until we'll have the Americans on board, because operating with the Americans or allowing the Americans to do the job will be much more effective than anything that the Israeli Air Force can do.
In a market in Jerusalem, an elderly Iranian Jew sings an old song. The latest UN report that Iran's nuclear program is speeding up and going into a hideaway in a mountain strengthens Israel's war party. The chances of an attack on the singer's old country by the one he adopted are increasing.
Jeremy Byrne there in Israel on attitudes towards the bombing of Iran. Let's talk to Sir Richard Dalton, who was in fact ambassador in Iran. He's now a fellow at the Foreign Affairs think tank Chatham House. Good morning to you, Sir Richard.
Good morning.
First of all, can we assume in this conversation that Iran is up to something over there with these buried deep nuclear facilities inside mountains?
Iran is putting the facilities which it says it needs to generate fuel for nuclear power reactors underground because it is continuously threatened with military action to destroy the facilities which it has above ground. But that's not the whole story. The International Atomic Energy Agency says that it cannot verify that there have never been military-related activities in Iran. And indeed, it is likely that until 2003, there was a structured program on research and development for some of the technologies needed for a nuclear weapon. But it's also assessed by the United States, and I believe also by Israel, that that program was suspended, that some activities may have continued since then, but currently Iran has not decided to build a nuclear weapon and is not building one.
Right. OK, so that's a good summary of where you think we are, although the UN nuclear inspectors have said there are ways in which they think their access is restricted, and you would think if it was all entirely peaceful, Iran would want to show them as much as possible.
There's a dispute between the IAEA and Iran about how to conduct that essential verification, yes. And in the context of a deal with the six countries negotiating with Iran, it will be possible, I believe, to resolve those differences that are preventing the IAEA getting on with its visits to some of the sensitive sites.
Mm. Now, take us through a scenario in which Israel, we'll ask whether you think it's going to happen, but suppose Israel decides to bomb Iran, to try and destroy these facilities as quickly and as early as it possibly can. Where does that lead the world?
That leads the Middle East region to a much more uncertain position, because as assessed by the US Chief of Defense, it is unlikely that Israel would be able to destroy all Iran's nuclear facilities. It is likely that they would delay, not stop, Iran's progress. And moreover, such an attack would give Iran the overwhelming motive to change the nature of its decision-making about nuclear weapons and actually go for a bomb after all. So there would not only be short-term repercussions of a major disturbance in the Middle East, a shooting up of oil prices, further attacks on Israel, attacks round the world, probably quite a long campaign of retaliation by Iran, but there would also be major consequences for the non-proliferation regime because Iran would leave it.
And the most important thing you said there, probably, and the most important factor in the minds of generals in Israel, is that if they did bomb Iran, they probably wouldn't succeed in stopping the nuclear program in its entirety. And if you'd, there's absolutely no point in doing it if it's not going to work, is there?
Well, the Israeli military calculation may be different from that.
But if they accepted your premise, that would be...
They may believe that a two-year gain is worth the cost, but I believe they would be wrong, and many in Israel also believe that they would be seriously wrong in doing that.
And in a sentence, do you think it is going to happen? Because if it does, obviously it's going to be the biggest thing of the decade.
I think it's unlikely this year. I believe that the diplomacy and sanctions has not got much further to run. It's not going to get anywhere in the short term. There's a kind of slow bicycle race in which neither side is giving the other sufficient to enable the race to proceed at any pace, but neither side wants the talks to collapse. I believe there is an opportunity next year before the crucial point when Iran might take any decision to change its current program.
So, Richard Dalton, thanks for talking to us.